أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا حبيب قلوبنا عبد القاسم محمد
صلى الله
وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. For the return of our Imam, please recite aloud salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. My brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On this day, allow me to extend my sincerest congratulations to you, to all of our brothers and sisters, both in Islam and in humanity, to all of mankind, for today we are marking the anniversary of the birth of our Imam. May Allah hasten his reappearance, who will fill the world with justice as it is presently filled with tyranny. Sheikh Al-Mufid, who was mentioned not long ago, and Sheikh Al-Tusi narrate a hadith from Al-Fadl ibn Shadhan in a chain of narrators going back to the sixth Imam, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Talking about the time when the Imam will return. Now obviously this isn't a specific time, but the time of the year, in whichever year the Imam returns, the time of the year in which he will return. The hadith reads, a caller will call out the name of the Qa'im on the 23rd night of Ramadan, on Laylatul Qadr. And he will rise up on the day of Ashura, the day in which Al-Husayn ibn Ali was slain, alayhi salam. Now, we know that Nisf al-Sha'ban, the 15th of Sha'ban, is an important day, an important night for all Muslims. Even before the birth of our Imam, it was known as Laylatul Bara'a, one of the special nights of the year for seeking forgiveness for our sins. And so Imam al-Mahdi was born on this night. A call will announce his imminent return on Laylatul Qadr, and he will return on Ashura. And it's an interesting correlation of dates. But there is a question. Why Ashura? What is the connection between Imam al-Mahdi and his movement, and Imam al-Husayn and the movement that he led all those years ago? Why is it on the anniversary of this event that the Imam will choose to rise up and not on, let's say, Mab'ath, the advent of prophecy, the beginning of the mission of our Prophet? Because surely as the Imam who will restore Islam, he is restoring Islam to the true teachings of the Prophet. So why not on Mab'ath? What is so special about the connection between Imam al-Mahdi and Imam al-Husayn? And if we look at our supplications, our ziyarat, and our traditions, we see that the Imams themselves have highlighted a special connection between Imam al-Husayn and his descendant, Imam al-Mahdi. Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. For example, in Dua al-Nudbah, which is recommended for us to recite on Friday mornings, it's a very long dua, but there's one beautiful question that we ask Allah in this dua. We ask, أين الطالب بالدم المقتول بكربلاء? Where is the one who will avenge the blood of he who was slain in Karbala? We know that one of the functions of the Mahdi, part of the mission of the Mahdi, is to avenge the killing of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. In fact, we have a tradition from Imam al-Sadiq in which the Imam tells his followers that the angels complained to Allah on the day that Imam Hussein was slain. They complained to Allah, how can this happen to the Imam of the age, to the inheritor of the prophets, to the grandson of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. And Allah responded by revealing to them, by revealing to his angels, one of Hussein's descendants, who was standing qa'im and praying. He was standing and praying in this vision he showed to the angels, and he said, with bihad al-qa'im, with this one who is standing, which is one of the meanings of the word qa'im, with this one who is standing, I will exact revenge. And with that, the angels were satisfied. And so there is a cosmic connection between these two imams. But how, we could ask, how is it possible that more than 1,000 years later, the imam will take revenge on the killers of Hussein? How is it possible? Yazid himself, la'natullahi alayh, lived only a matter of 2 or 3 years after the events of Karbala. And so when we were being taught these du'as, when the Shia were being taught the du'as that we still recite to this day by the imams, the perpetrators of this heinous act had already died and gone to their graves. In fact, many of them had been killed by the Tawwabun, a movement that set out specifically to avenge the murder of Imam al-Hussein and his companions. So how is it possible that this imam, who will return, inshallah, in our lifetimes, how is it possible for him to take revenge on them when they are already dead? How will he avenge the blood of Hussein? And there are two possibilities. I don't want to say possibilities. There are two ways in which this will happen, inshallah. The first is during something called the Raj'ah, when Allah, during the time of our Imam, when he returns, will bring back to life the oppressors who oppress the Ahlul Bayt and who oppress the righteous people of this world. The worst oppressors and the best believers will be brought back, that justice be done in this world. Just as Allah has previously brought back prophets and other nations. For example, we have the Banu Israel, when they went up the mountain, up Mount Sinai with Moses, and they demanded to see Allah clearly, they were caused to die and then resurrected. And so Allah does resurrect people in this world. So one of those people he will resurrect is who? The killers of Imam al-Hussein and his companions, so that justice be done on them. But there's another way in which we can understand this. Because if we look at Ziyarat Ashura, another thing we recite, another supplication we recite, in which these two imams are mentioned together, and we'll come to that in a minute, we see that we curse those who laid the asas of dhulm, the foundations of oppression. So it is not just those who held the swords in their hands or gave the orders to kill Imam Hussein. It is the system of oppression that the imam is coming to exact vengeance upon. The system of oppression, which is the same system today as it was then. Yes, the names have changed. The places have changed. But the reality is the same. And it is on that system which continues to oppress and continues to shed the blood of the innocent that our imam will take revenge. And this is revealed in Ziyarat Ashura itself. If we look in Ziyarat Ashura, we read, we ask Allah, فَاسْأَلَ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَ مَقَامَكَ وَأَكْرَمَنِي بِكَ. I ask Allah, who has honored your status and honored me through you. أَنْ يَرْزُقَنِي طَلَبَ ثَارِكَ مَعْ إِمَامٍ مَنْصُورٍ مِنْ أَهْلَ بَيْتِ مُحَمَّدٍ صلوات. اللهم صل على محمد. To allow me to avenge you. We are asking Allah to allow us to avenge Imam al-Hussein with the victorious Imam from the household of the Prophet, with the Imam in Mansur. And then elsewhere, later on in the same ziyarat, we ask, again, we ask Allah, an yarzuqani, to seek my, an yarzuqani talab athari ma imamin hudan dahirin natiqin bil haqqi minkum, to allow me to seek my vengeance on the killers of Imam Hussein, with a guided, manifest imam who proclaims the truth from you, Ahlul Bayt. And look at the qualities in these two lines from Ziyarat Ashura that describe the imam of our time. In the first line, we read he is Mansur, he is victorious in establishing his government and defeating his enemies, in defeating the enemies of justice. Secondly, in the second line, we see three qualities mentioned. He is guided by Allah, Hudan, in order to restore the true teachings of Islam. He is also Zahir, he is manifest, he is visible for all to see, whereas now he is currently Ghaib, he is hidden. Something to say Zahara means something to appear. He has appeared after a period of being absent from view. And everyone will know that he is an imam. He is not just apparent in the sense his person is visible to us. We can see him. We know who he is. He will be zahir to the whole world. The whole world will know he is the imam because the sayha, the call from the sky on the 23rd of Ramadan will announce his name and his father's name and that he is the imam of all mankind. And finally, he will proclaim the truth. Natiq bil haqq. It means there will no longer be any taqiyya. He will proclaim the true teachings of the Prophet and his household. And everyone, he will make accessible to everyone the true religion, inshallah. And so clearly the vengeance we are asking for, the retribution we are asking for this injustice, is not just about punishing the guilty. It is about continuing the struggle. It isn't enough just to punish the people who killed Imam al-Hussein as if the world was all right before Ashura in that fateful year, as if there was nothing wrong with the world before they slew Imam al-Hussein. No, the very fact that Imam al-Hussein was killed was not where the problem started. It was the sign that the problems were firmly entrenched in the Ummah. And so when we are asking for vengeance, we cannot just punish the guilty, because that is not what Imam al-Hussein set out to do. He set out to do what? Islah. He says to his brother in a wasiyah, in a testament that he wrote to Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah, his half-brother, he says, إِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ طَلَبَ الْإِصْلَاحِ فِي أُمَّةِ جَدِّي. I have only set out seeking to reform the Ummah of my grandfather. And what is the mission of Imam al-Mahdi if not to reform the Ummah of Islam and to reform all mankind? We know that he comes to establish a just government, to implement the true teachings of Islam. And Imam al-Hussein, in fact, we can say Imam al-Hussein, no, his movement was part of the movement of the Mahdi. Why? Because although he sacrificed his life on that day with his blood and with the blood of his companions, he has laid the foundations for the revolution of the Mahdi. Because for over 1,000 years, brothers and sisters, whenever we have faced oppression, whenever we have faced persecution, whenever we have faced hardship and the struggle for justice, to who have we turned? To whose memory? To whose message? To whose sacrifice? Hussein. Salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And no matter how hard they try, and they have tried, the oppressors have never been able to make us forget Hussein. Because the more they persecute us, the more they oppress us, the more they try to stamp out this message, the stronger this message becomes. And the more determined we become to follow this message and emulate the example of Imam al-Hussein. And that is why we have a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. That says, whoever recites the ziyarat of Ashura will have the reward of someone who was not only slain with Imam al-Hussein, but who has visited Imam al-Hussein for every day since the day in which he was killed. Isn't this a strange narration? I hear your minds racing to say, that can't be true. How can someone, for simply reciting a ziyarat, receive that level of reward? The answer is, of course, they are not reciting it as we commonly recite. You know, we quickly read through it. We want to get to the end of it so we can tick off the box saying we have recited Ziyarat Ashura. No, reciting Ziyarat Ashura with presence of mind and heart. Why? Why do you get the reward of someone who was killed with Imam al-Hussein? Because the reason why Imam al-Hussein went to Karbala, and the reason why his companions went to Karbala, and the reason they gave their lives at Karbala, was so that we would have the message of Islam today. And by reciting Ziyarat Ashura, we acknowledge that sacrifice. And moreover, we keep that sacrifice alive. And look at the loyalty. We were talking a moment ago, the Shaykh was enlightening us about the qualities of those awaiting the Imam of their time. Let us look at the qualities of those who were with Imam al-Hussein, who said, by Allah, if we were killed and cut to pieces and brought back and killed again and 1,000 times more, we would rather go through that than leave you. Tell me that isn't the quality of one who is awaiting his Imam, who loves his Imam, who has love of Ahlul Bayt. And moreover, and most importantly of all, does not Imam Hussein's message and his mission and his sacrifice show to us the true nature of the world? Remember, I said that the problems didn't begin in Ashura, but they became clear on Ashura, on the plains of Karbala. After that day, no one could deny that the Islam of the Prophet had been oppressed, and the Islam of the rulers of the Banu Umayyah and later the Banu Abbas had taken its place. And let us turn again on that subject of the injustice of the world to Dua Nudba, where we read, Hal min mu'aynin fu'atilu ma'hu al-awayli wal-buka, Hal min jaru'in fa'asa'adahu jar'ahu with a khala. Is there a supporter out there, a supporter of the Ahlul Bayt out there, with whom I can lengthen my lament? With whom I can continue crying? Is there someone out there who is restless, whose restlessness I can revive when it disappears? Is there someone out there who I can cry with, and when he stops crying, I make him cry again, and when I stop crying, he makes me cry again? Does this mean we should sit at home and cry day and night? Perhaps as some of the enemies of truth would like us to do. No, it means we should always be restless. We should always be concerned. We should always feel there is something wrong with the world. And what more evidence do we need? What more evidence do we need? Not only by the murder of the grandson of the Prophet all those years ago, but today, turn on the news, look at the world around you. Is there any doubt that this world is filled to the brim with tyranny and injustice, when even the clothes that we wear have not just been bought with money, but with the blood of the downtrodden and the exploited? This is intidhar. Do you feel the absence of your Imam when you see this? Do you feel that there is something wrong with the world? Because it is the cornerstone of Shia Islam that from the very beginning, something has gone terribly wrong and it must be put right. And there is one more similarity I would like to highlight between these two great men. These two men who have captured our hearts, Imam al-Hussein and the Mahdi. They will make the same call. Did Imam al-Hussein not call out, Hal min nasirin yansuruni? Is there anyone out there to help me? And we have in the Ghaybah of Nu'mani, a hadith in which Imam al-Sadiq tells his companions what speech the Mahdi will give on the day of Ashura. Remember, on the day of Ashura, Imam al-Hussein said, is there anyone to help me? Imam al-Mahdi, again on the day of Ashura, this time with the Kaaba behind him and surrounded by his companions, he will say, indeed, nastansir billahi, وَمَنْ أَجَابَنَا مِنَ النَّاسِ. Indeed, we seek assistance, and whoever will respond to our call from the people. For indeed, we are the household of your Prophet. And he will end his speech again by saying, فَانْصُرَنَا يَنْصُرُكُمُ اللَّهِ. So help us that Allah might help you. Now with all these similarities, I have one question for you, brothers and sisters. Imam al-Hussein gave his life He was killed in cold blood, alone on the plains of Karbala. What guarantee is there that the Imam of our time will not share his fate? Because we know that he will flee from Medina to Mecca and make this call, and then he will head to Kufa again. What is the guarantee that history will not repeat itself? Us. Remember all those years ago, the answer that the people of Kufa gave to Imam al-Hussein. They answered with their swords against him. And so I ask you today, when you hear this call, what will your answer be? Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.